Thank you, Lord, for loving me, and thank you, Lord, for blessing me. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole and saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for loving me. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Let us all with one accord sing praises to Christ the Lord. Let us all unite in song to praise Him all day long. Thank you, Lord, for loving me. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Please reveal your will for me so I can serve you for eternity. Use my life in every way. Take hold of it today. Thank you, Lord, for loving me. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for loving me. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul.
Seems appropriate that people who are united under the headship of Christ, because we've been redeemed at the cost of the blood of the beloved, and because our sins have been forgiven, it seems appropriate that we, as this last song just said, unite in song. In fact, the singing of the Lord's people is one of the most unique and most obvious ways in which the unity that is established in Christ can be expressed. And if you think about the purposes of singing in the assembly of the church, as we have them noted in the New Testament, you remember the appropriateness of our uniting in song as a redeemed people. One reason is that we, in doing so, tell of what the one who saves us has done. Remember that the idea of praising in Scripture is simply to tell what the one you're praising has done. When we praise the Lord, when we sing praises to Him, we're singing of what He has done for us. When we sing, we instruct and encourage each other with words that are understood and with a message. Colossians 3 and verse 16 is one of the verses that we often make note of in this way. And when we sing, as we're telling what God has done for us in saving us, and as we are encouraging and admonishing each other, we also are offering ourselves. We're giving of our hearts. The speaking that we do in singing to each other in Ephesians 5 and 19, singing to God, is a part of our submitting to Him, as the next verse says. We've just mentioned this in our song. When we out of thanks to God, give ourselves to Him or offer ourselves to Him. Tonight we're going to be thinking of at least one message that is emphasized as the Lord's people unite in song. We're going to think about the way in which we enjoy assurance in Christ, and the way in which, because of our confidence in His work to save us, we are made whole. And we believe that we become what God wants us to be in that sense. I hope that you'll try especially to think about the words as we sing tonight. You have to do that if we're singing to express praise and to teach and encourage each other. So we'll ask you to be involved in that way. I'd like to ask everybody, Travis is going to lead us in our prayer just now, if you please stand for this prayer and remain standing, if you could, for the next two songs.
Our Father, we thank you so much for the gift of song, the gift of music in our hearts. We thank you for the way that it helps us to remember and to understand your word, that we can have a song in our heart as we go throughout the week. Help us to fill up our hearts with those words that that we sing tonight, that we know, the scripture that we sing often. We thank you for the gift of voice, the parts that you've given us, that we can be different but united in song. We thank you for the opportunity that you help us to have, but that that even just in a simple song, that there's so much meaning to glorify you, to praise you, to edify ourselves, to encourage each other. We just thank you for that. Help us to always remember the gifts that you have given us, and just ask that you be with us this week and help us to keep a song in our hearts that reminds us and helps us to remember you. It's in your Son's name that we pray. Amen.
Number 687. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Let's sing verses 1 and 3 of this selection. Verses 1 and 3.
It's so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I prove Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Yes, 'tis sweet to trust in Jesus, just from sin and self to cease, just from Jesus simply taking life and rest and joy and peace. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I prove Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more.
Number 71, Blessed Assurance. Let's sing verses 1 and 3 of this selection as well.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
When the people who have been united in Christ unite their voices in song, it makes sense that they are expressing their confidence in what He has done for us all. We do have a blessed assurance in Christ. The New Testament strikes this note in several passages. One of them is in 1 John 5 and verse 3, where John says that he is writing this letter so that his readers who are in Christ can know that they have eternal life in Him. Now, there'd be no other way to know or to have any assurance of something like that. In Hebrews chapter 6 and verses 18 and 19, we read recently in our daily Bible reading, the writer says that by two unchangeable things in which it's impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to lay hope on the hold on the hope set before us. We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain. This morning, as we read from Ephesians chapter 1, that chapter ends up with Jesus being seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high, where He rules over every force, every spiritual force that there is, and where He rules over us. What this says is that Christ entered into the veil as a forerunner for us. Our head and ruler is also our pioneer and our forerunner. And that means that we have a reason, this writer says, to have a strong encouragement. Now, with this in mind, I'd like you to think back for a moment to what we have just sung from Blessed Assurance. And I want to call your attention to the phrases in that song which are responsible for our assurance. I recently saw something that Dan Williams at Harding had put together on these phrases that made me stop and think about them, and I think you might appreciate them too. Look at the reasons for our blessed assurance. And these phrases from the first verse of that song: heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. Now, if you think about it, every one of those phrases expresses in some special way why we believe that we have hope in connection with Christ. Each of these phrases also expresses in a particular way some part of our response to what Christ has done for us, which is crucial. I learned a couple of years ago during the time when I was going through the eye surgery stuff when I had no spectacles, I couldn't see the screens. During that time, I had to do the old-fashioned thing and pick up a book and follow in the songs. It occurred to me in doing that as good as these things are, one of the big advantages that I was missing is following along the thoughts in a song, particularly from one verse to the other. Sometimes I was overlooking the power of phrases like these here. And I'd like for us to use these four phrases as the basis of our thinking for these few minutes. We'll mix in some songs as we go along. First, heir of salvation. That's what anybody who is in Christ is. An heir of salvation. What is an heir? You and I think immediately of someone who had a family who passed on and they left us something. We didn't do anything particular to deserve it. It was just left for us. However, we have a father who is not going to pass on. He's eternal. Inheritance has to mean more than that. Inheritance means, first off, that we have a family connection with God. In Ephesians 1, it uses both the fact that we are His heritage in verse 11, and then that we have an inheritance in verse 14. That's interesting to me. In Galatians chapter 3, and when Paul is discussing what being in Christ means, he says that in Christ Jesus, we're all sons of God through faith. For as many of us as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And as he goes down in the first part of chapter 4, beginning at verse 4, it says, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law," which is what He did with His blood, Ephesians 1 this morning, "so that we might receive adoption as sons." In other words, that we might be in His family. "And because you're sons, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So that you're no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God." Being an heir of salvation means you've been made a child of God and that you have a family hope. Romans 8 and verse 17 goes ahead and points out that this is something that belongs to a child in a family as a gift and not because of any particular thing the child has done to earn it. It just says, "And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ." Now, that means that we are thinking of our entire hope and our future. And we're saying that we believe that our inheritance is ours on the basis of what Christ has done. And that in Him, He being God's Son, we become God's children. And that God, who was gracious enough to redeem us from slavery to sin and death, and to make us His children, considers the process not done until He also blesses us with an inheritance. We want to sing an old song just now and ask you to take a new look at the words and think of what it is that lets us think of an inheritance in Christ.
Number 557, Rock of Ages. I might sing this just a touch quicker than we're used to.
Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in Thee. Let the water and the blood from Thy riven side which flowed, be of sin the perfect cure. Cleanse me from its guilt and power, not the labor of my hands can fulfill the law's demands. Could my zeal no respite know, could my tears forever flow, all for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and Thou alone. Nothing in my
hand I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress. Helpless look to thee for grace. Vile I to the fountain fly. Wash me, Savior, or I die.
The second phrase in that has to do with the foundation for our blessed assurance is a more unexpected one. It's purchase of God. This means that God did the purchasing. And you and I recognize, having hopefully thought a little bit through God's plan from Ephesians 1, that God did the purpose of the purchasing on purpose. He's a selective shopper. And you remember the price by which he buys the ransom for his people. The blood of his own beloved Son. No higher price was ever paid. Please understand that there is no inheritance of the sort that we're talking about in God's family that has not come at the cost of the purchase that God provided. In Revelation 5, in the New Testament, at verse 9, we see this great scene in heaven where finally the Lamb is found to be worthy to unfold the plan of God and the purpose of God. And he comes forward to take the book and to open it, and all of heaven burst forth in praises. They sing a new song saying, worthy are you to take the scroll or the book and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed or purchased or bought a people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. Remember that in Acts 20 and verse 28, when Paul was talking about talking to the church, the elders of the church at Ephesus, he tells them to feed the church of God over which the Holy Spirit, in which the Holy Spirit had made them overseers, the church of the Lord or the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Now think about it. If he ransomed or purchased people from every place to be his people with his blood, and if he purchased the church with his blood, what's the church? It's the purchase of God. It's the God's people are his purchase at the cost of his own Son. And their future and their hope and our future and our hope and confidence comes from his paying the price and our having confidence that it'll be enough, and our basing our hope on that. Please sing with us of our Redeemer in this way, Song 300.
I will sing of my Redeemer and his wondrous love to me. On the cruel cross he suffered from the curse to set me free. Sing, oh sing of my Redeemer, with his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid the debt, and made me free. I will praise my dear Redeemer, his triumphant power I'll tell, How the victory he giveth over sin and death and hell. Sing, oh sing, my Redeemer, with his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid the debt, and made me free. I will sing of my Redeemer and his heavenly hope to me. He from death to life hath brought me, Son of God, with him to be. Sing, oh sing, of my Redeemer, with his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid the debt, and made me free.
So here's the third phrase from that song, which is meant to teach and encourage us when we sing it to each other. Born of his Spirit. Now you think heir of salvation, purchase of God, and born of his Spirit. They're not different things. They're different aspects of the same thing. Only in this case, we're thinking about something that involves our faith response to what the Lord has done for us. Remember all the way back when Jesus spoke to Nicodemus in John chapter 3 and verse 5. There was the question that they're discussing about how one enters the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus apparently thought it was by being born physically into the family of Abraham. And Jesus is enlightening him. He says to him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Been a lot of kicking around of that verse and trying to debate what it's talking about or what it means. One thing that's pretty clear is that there is a figure of speech here which is used in other places in the New Testament. For example, in 1 Peter 1 and verse 23, Peter is describing how his readers purified their souls by their obedience to the truth. In verse 22 of 1 Peter 1, in verse 23 he says, since you have been born again. So in their obedience to the truth, they've been born again. In their purifying their souls, they've become new creatures. Peter says, since you've been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding Word of God. Verse 25 makes it clear the Word of God he's talking about is the gospel that's been preached to them. The idea being, then, that the gospel tells us of the work of Christ in our behalf. One who hears it has begotten within him some new and different kind of life. And when one obeys that gospel, then he's born again into God's family. And as you and I have reminded ourselves, or tried to, a spiritual birth is meant to lead to a spiritual life. Since we read a while ago from Galatians chapter 3 and chapter 4 about becoming children of God by faith and putting on the name of Christ by being baptized into Him and being adopted into God's family. Remember in Galatians 5 and verses 22 and 23, then these people who've been born of the Spirit now are to walk by the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit that shows up in their lives then is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, and such things. So that is a very strong reminder to us every time we sing that song. We were born of the Spirit. Let's be what we were born into. And then the fourth one of these phrases, I call our attention to this, washed in His blood. So put them together in your heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. It's the blood of Christ which is the redeeming power. It's the blood of Christ which is cleansing in terms of forgiveness. It's the blood of Christ which offers a covenant relation as God's between God and His family, His children. Matthew 26 and verse 28, that night when Jesus is at the supper with His disciples, and there's the bread that He takes and tells them to take and to eat. This is His body. And then there's the cup or the fruit of the vine which He gives them and He tells them to take. He said, "For this is My blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for remission of sins." There never has been anything else which could provide that. When Peter preaches the gospel or tells that Jesus is Lord in Christ, having been raised up in Acts 2, and everybody wants to know what to do, he tells them to repent and to be baptized in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of their sin. In other words, based on the blood of Christ for the forgiveness of their sins, and they'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Do you think that has anything to do with purchase of God, heir of salvation, and being born of the Spirit? I think they're the same thing. And that's what I think we'd get. In Philippians 3, Paul is talking about all of the things in the flesh that he might have had confidence in. Verse 4. And when he gets to verses 8 and 9, he says, "But I've counted all of that but loss for the sake of Christ." And he makes the point that he's considered Christ of surpassing worth, and he wants more than anything to be found in Him, not having a righteousness of his own, but the righteousness of Christ, who is his Lord. That desire is what unites us as the Lord's people. Let's remember our being born of His Spirit and washed in His blood as we sing number 438.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils His lovely face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His oath, His covenant, His blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, He then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
when he shall come with trumpet sound. Oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
Based on what Christ has done for the whole world, each of us can have blessed assurance in Christ. That, of course, is the announcement of the gospel of Christ. We've tried to say to ourselves tonight that there's some tangible ways in which we can know whether we're in Christ. When we sing Blessed Assurance, we are trying to invite everybody to consider whether these things are descriptive of their relationship with Jesus. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. Have you been, and are you? Those are two pretty important questions, and we don't say them to get on somebody. We say them, we sing them to invite everybody. There is no reason why these four phrases could not be the actual situation in your life if that's what you want and if you're willing. Tonight we'll sing, Are You Washed in the Blood? I used to hear this when I first started the church, and man, it would worry me. And now I sing it, and I am so thankful to be able to say yes. If you are here tonight and you need to make this the reality, then we'd like to invite you to make sure you leave this place tonight with blessed assurance. If we can help you in that way, let us know while we stand and sing number 50 together.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace? This hour are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin, and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Let me see, please.
I think for just a second. First, thanks to John for helping us with this tonight. And thanks to you guys for the encouragement of your singing. Remember when you sang that last song, if you are in Christ, then the answer to all those questions is yes. That's what we've been trying to say. So this week, think about heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. Okay. Announcement-wise, we do have our last wave of folks who are taking children off to college and so forth is going on today. And remember those who are traveling. Remember our kids who get in earnest into a semester's worth of work this week. Our best to Michelle while she does that too. And remember that we have some loved ones who are having serious health issues. Don Tracy's brother. Don said he was doing better today. We're glad for that. And remember Christine Davis, who's Cheryl's sister-in-law. She's been seriously ill. And Chris and Trish both have parents who have significant health challenges right now. Please remember them. Are there any other announcements? I'm filling in for Bob at this. Are there any other announcements tonight that needed to be made today? Thank you. Okay. All right. Okay. All right. I hope you heard John. Okay. Remember Tim Buckner's mother. Tim and Alice are taking her to Barnes in St. Louis. Okay. Anything else? So good to see you guys today. We'll have another song. If you had not had the opportunity today to partake of the Lord's Supper, some of our brothers are prepared to serve you. If you'll meet them in the foyer out here, they'll help you to the place where the supper will be served tonight. Just as we begin this song, just make your way there. Thank you again.
Number 756. When we all get to heaven, we'll sing verses 1 and 3. And we'll be followed by prayer, followed in prayer by Brother Dev and Carol. Verses 1 and 3. Oh, when we all get to heaven, I'm sorry. Yes, verses 1 and 3, 756.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing His mercy and His grace. In the mansion, bright and blessed, He'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Let us then be true and faithful, trusting, serving every day. Lest one glimpse of Him in glory will the toils of life repay. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for today, Lord, and thank you for tonight. Thank you, Lord, that we were able to sing songs of praise to your name, Lord. We were able to remember, Lord, the blood that Jesus shed for us, Lord, so that we could have that home in heaven with you someday. Lord, we're so thankful for that blessing, and Lord, I pray that we would just remember that at all times, Lord, and just how great an example he was for us, so it's just so that whenever we go out through this week, just that we can try and strive to be more like him each and every day. Lord, I pray that you would be with all those on the prayer list here at church, Lord. I pray that you would give them the strength that they need and the encouragement that they need. Lord, I pray that if we could help them in any way, Lord, that you would just give us the opportunity to do so. Lord, I pray that you would be with us throughout this week and just help us, Lord, to be shining lights to all those around us and help us, Lord, to be encouragement to them. It's in your Son, Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.